This is the Forces Station. This is Gurkha 200 with Jill Misson.
This is BFBS. Bravest of the brave, most generous of the generous. Never had country more faithful friends than you. The words of Sir Ralph Turner, carved on the Gurkha Memorial Statue, which stands outside the Ministry of Defence in Whitehall. The location of just one of many special events in 2015 to celebrate and commemorate 200 years of Gurkha service to the Crown. Ask anyone who's served alongside the Gurkhas to sum up the skills and qualities these proud Nepalese soldiers bring to the British Army, and you will be told of their loyalty, their bravery, and their cheerfulness.
The Gurkha is almost naturally happy, with a big ready smile, and always looking for the funny side of stuff. He also makes a fantastic warfighter, and in places like Afghanistan, when the red mist comes up, you want to be behind a Gurkha, not in front of him.
They come with that sort of phlegmatic sense of humour, very dignified people. There's a sort of charm coupled with their military prowess that people in Britain really respect and admire.
Colonel James Robinson, Colonel Brigade of Gurkhas, and General Sir Peter Wall, Colonel Commandant. The bicentenary event this year had been an opportunity to honour the unique and enduring relationship between the British people and the Gurkhas. The highlight of the Gurkha 200 calendar was a spectacular pageant on the 9th of June at the Royal Hospital Chelsea, attended by Her Majesty the Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince of Wales, Prince Harry, and His Majesty the Sultan of Brunei. Through music, dance and military reenactments, the fascinating story of the Gurkhas was told as the sun set over London.
Just over 200 years ago, our story began not in friendship, but in enmity, when in 1814, the army of Gurkha in Nepal clashed with the forces of the British East India Company. After two long, bloody and largely inconclusive campaigns, a peace treaty was signed in Sigauli in 1816. Between these campaigns, the first Gurkhas were recruited by Lieutenant Frederick Young, who had been captured by the Gurkhas and had been so impressed with their martial qualities and general bearing that he knew they would be a great asset to the army of the East India Company. His views were quickly accepted, and the story of what is now the Brigade of Gurkhas began.
Narrator Dan Snow starting the story of the Gurkhas at the Royal Pageant. Since those first recruits, Gurkha soldiers have served alongside British forces in every major conflict for two centuries. You can find out more about the battles they've fought in at the Gurkha Museum in Winchester, where the curator Gavin Edgerly-Harris continues our history lesson.
One of the most significant periods in the 200-year history of the brigade has to be the Sepoy Rebellion in 1857. It was at the Siege of Delhi when Gurkhas fought side by side with the 60th Rifles at Hindu Rao's house, and for many months between June and September withstood numerous savage attacks by the mutineers. But Gurkhas fought bravely and loyally with the British to beat off the mutineers' attacks and finally retook Delhi. As a result of that bravery and loyalty, Queen Victoria later gave the Sirmore Battalion of Gurkhas a Queen's truncheon, and Gurkhas from that day on became riflemen. The British public at this time started to become aware of the bravery and loyalty of Gurkhas through the popular press. One could say that 1857 was the year when the British public began their love affair with Gurkhas. When you come upstairs in the museum onto the first floor, you enter the First World War Gallery, and immediately on your left is a depiction of the Battle of Neuve Chapelle in 1915.
The diorama shows a bombing party of the 2nd Battalion, 3rd Gurkha Rifles, attacking a German strongpoint in France during World War I. You are standing in the German trench, seeing the attack as the German defenders did before they surrendered. It all took place on the morning of the 10th of March, 1915, when the 2nd Battalion, 3rd Gurkhas, was one of the attacking battalions of the 7th Meer Expedition. Their orders were to capture German trenches near the village of Neuve Chapelle. The attack started with an artillery barrage. When the barrage lifted, the Gurkhas rushed the German trenches. Havildar Bahadur Thapa led the bombing party, some of whom you see here. Their task was to capture the stronghold, and they did so with complete success.
...1915 was a significant date in the Brigade of Gurkhas. Not only was there the Battle of Neuve Chapelle, but Gurkhas later in 1915 were fighting at Gallipoli. And also 1915 was the year when the first Gurkha soldier was awarded the Victoria Cross. That was Rifleman Kulbir Thapa at the Battle of Loos on the Western Front. Up until 1911... Gurkha soldiers had not been eligible for the award, but from the beginning of the First World War, Gurkhas have been eligible for this award and have won 13. There are 26 Victoria Crosses to Gurkha regiments, 13 to British officers, 13 to Gurkhas.
So when people speak of the bravery and gallantry of Gurkha soldiers, the medals are testament to that?
The number of gallantry awards to Gurkhas is immeasurably high. And, as you say, fitting tribute to the gallantry, bravery, stoicism, hardship, support that Gurkhas give.
Many soldiers and officers in the Brigade of Gurkhas, both British and Nepalese, can trace their own family history back through generations who have served before them. Colonel James Robinson was born in a military hospital in Nepal. He chose the same career path as his father, grandfather and great-grandfather, but is perhaps most proud of the brave actions of Captain John Graham Robinson.
My great-great-uncle was actually a second Gurkha, and he was fighting in 1897 in Dargai on the northwest frontier. He was a company commander at the time. He was required to sort of move his company forward, but the enemy were firing down from the heights. He took a group forward. He went back very bravely to pick up a second group. And in moving those forward, he was shot and died a few days later. In memory of him, there was a huge metal plate made, which was put into the church at Dehradun in India. And in 1947, with India picking up its independence, that was moved back to the United Kingdom. It went into a church in Winchester. And I've now got this huge plate, which took about four or five soldiers to carry upstairs in my office. So extremely proud of that and extremely proud of his memory.
Many Gurkha soldiers do follow in the footsteps of other men in their families.
It is a huge source of pride and honour in Nepal. A fantastic opportunity, comparing perhaps subsistence farming in the hills of Nepal with being a paid soldier in the British Army. It allows them then to enjoy a completely different quality of life and perhaps to support some of their wider family back in Nepal.
What do you think the lifestyle and the conditions in Nepal bring to Gurkha soldiers? What have they learnt from growing up in that environment that makes them good soldiers?
It's a pretty rugged place. It requires tough people to walk up and down, to live in a fairly basic lifestyle. And traditionally that has absolutely been the case. There isn't central heating, there isn't double glazing, and there isn't Tesco's at the end of the road.
There is stiff competition to become a Gurkha soldier. Everybody knows that. Take us through that recruitment process in Nepal.
Well, it's a process that happens only once a year. So in about the springtime, we will advertise the process and the particular criteria that we're looking for in terms of age constraints and height constraints and weight constraints, etc. Our Gullahwalas, our ex-Gurkhas, will go out into the hills and they will receive those who are keen to join, and they'll do a sort of cursory check, and that will actually reduce some of the numbers initially because they're outside those criteria. We then do a regional selection, both in the east and west of Nepal, and getting a balance of soldiers from all parts of Nepal, from the various jats or tribes, if you like, of Nepal, is important. And you've probably got about 7,000 or 8,000 in total coming to those. And we run a series of fitness and educational tests, and that allows us to reduce that number down to about 500 or 600. And then finally, at the end of the year, in Pokhara, in our main camp in western Nepal, they come in for what we call central selection, where we run some additional tests, intellectual, mathematical, English, and some command tasks, a swimming test, and of course our famous Doko race, where they run for 5 kilometres uphill with a 25-kilo basket. And that, in conjunction with interviews, allows us to analyse and then select for what last year and this year will be 230 recruits who will then come to Catterick in January and do the 9-month infantry training course. It's part of their transition from Nepali youth to Gurkha soldier, where we add in some additional cultural and English language training. But during that process, we then identify which soldiers should go and join the corps, the band, our staff and personnel support, logistics, engineers and communicators. So at the end of that, some of those will then go on to do their respective Phase 2 training courses as well.
Why do you think young men in Nepal are so keen to take on that challenge when the odds are stacked against them?
I think the rewards are huge, the sense of pride and honour and achievement. But, you know, let's be honest, the lifestyle, the pay, the pension and everything else that comes with it, in comparison to staying back in Nepal, joining the British Army gives them fantastic opportunity and wealth.
Gurkha 200.
The Forces Station.
BFBS.
Another highlight of the Gurkha 200 calendar of events was a memorial parade in London on the 30th of April. Major Grenville Chaganis from 2nd Battalion, the Royal Gurkha Rifles, says it was an exciting and memorable day for all those involved.
There was about 250 of us on parade, and that includes the mass band of the Brigade of Gurkhas and the pipes and drums from across all the units. We have our Queen's Truncheon Party. We'll march out of Wellington Barracks towards Buckingham Palace, and then we'll head all the way down the Mall. And we'll turn right and cross Horse Guards Parade, where the Queen's birthday celebrations take place, through the archway, straight across the road to where the Gurkha statue is outside the front of the MOD main building. And that's where we'll stop. There'll be a lot of people there waiting for us. Comes around once in a lifetime, I think. So all of us who are involved are immensely proud. And to be honest, excited about having the opportunity to change the guard at Buckingham Palace over the coming weeks.
I'm Rifleman Sanjeev Rai, serving in 2nd Royal Gurkha Rifles now.
I'm Bikas Kerung, from 10 Queen's Own Gurkha Logistic Regiment. We are now at Wellington Barracks.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting day. First time I'm coming here in front of so many people.
In a regiment, we've been practicing a lot since last year, I believe. As a brigade, we've been training together for the last 2 weeks. I'm really, really proud to be part of the history, and to follow the footsteps of my forefathers. My granddad himself was in British Army. He served in World War II.
You're remembering all those people who have gone before you, and of course many Gurkhas who haven't made it back from the battlefront. So it's a proud and happy day, but also sad as well.
Our forefathers, they served, and this is our chance to salute their brave work. I have been in Afghanistan as well, so I know how difficult it is in war. So I'm feeling really proud, and my family as well.
Planned by the Brigade of Gurkhas for many months, but just 5 days before, Nepal suffered a natural disaster of unthinkable magnitude. A huge earthquake ripped through the Gurkha homeland, destroying homes and killing many thousands of people. One of the soldiers marching down the Mall, Corporal Suman of the Queen's Gurkha Engineers, said although he was proud to be taking part in such a historic occasion, he would be thinking of home.
In my mind at the moment, I would say I'll be remembering all those people who has lost their life and suffer in relation with the earthquake, a devastating earthquake back home in Nepal. And the epicenter is not that far away from my house as well. I'm pretty surprised and overwhelmed as well by the support of the British public as well, which we are getting in terms of aids and charities. It's a sad moment for us, so thank you very much for keeping us together. Although I serve in the British Army, and like, I'm part of British community, but I would always class Nepal as my home, because that's the place where I came from, and that's where I grew up.
What do you miss about it?
To be honest, I miss everything. nothing now at the moment, because most of the thing which I've seen it, especially the capital city of Kathmandu, which has been devastated as well, which I won't be able to see it again, those historical buildings and everything, and the cheerfulness and the smile in the people's face, so which won't be the same again.
Following the parade and memorial service at the Gurkha statue, the Royal United Services Institute hosted the launch of The Gurkhas, 200 Years of Service to the Crown, the official commemorative book being sold to raise funds for the Gurkha Welfare Trust. Among the guests was Joanna Lumley, the actor and campaigner who wrote the introduction to the book, which features a photo of her father, who served in the brigade.
The book is packed with bravery, and also I think it reveals the huge humour of the Gurkhas, because all the serving and ex-service personnel, and I'm talking about the Navy and the Air Force as well, always say, once we've got the Gurkhas anywhere near us, morale goes through the roof. Everybody feels braver, has a laugh, holds their head up high, stops feeling afeared, and gets on with it.
Now, of course, you're vice patron of the Gurkha Welfare Trust.
Yes.
And royalties from the book go to that charity. Yes. Which is working very hard at the moment.
Working terribly hard. This horrifying earthquake, which has shattered the country. It's the rebuild of the land that's going to take such an awful long time. However, the response of the British people has been awesome. I'm so proud of our country, and it just shows how deep is the bond which ties us together, and that bond is the Gurkhas.
In the first month after the earthquake, the Gurkha Welfare Trust sent out patrol teams to deliver medical care and nearly 3,000 emergency aid packs to remote areas. Now their focus is on providing temporary shelter from the monsoon and planning the long-term response to the disaster to give veterans the help that they need. Director of the charity, Colonel William Shuttlewood, praised the resilience and optimism of the Nepalese people and the generosity of the British public.
Nepal is an extraordinary country that if you let the disasters get on top of you, then you would very quickly stop enjoying life. But a Gurkha is at his best in adversity. He has an innate sense of optimism. He is strong in the face of disaster, and he is stoic. I think it's been a great privilege to see all these qualities during my service, and I have to say they're qualities that make him the soldier he is.
Every one of those soldiers in the parade today will have been thinking of family back home.
I don't doubt it, and many of them will have had some sort of personal drama to relate. It is a horror, the full magnitude of which I fear has yet to emerge fully. I do think the response of this country, both in response to the Disaster Emergence Committee appeal, but more parochially to the earthquake response fund, which we in the Trust have established, has been amazing, and it is truly humbling. And it's a great compliment to the Gurkha soldier that the people of this country are able to respond so generously. In a funny way, of course, it's payback time, isn't it, for the way the Gurkha has always responded to this country when we've had an hour of need. We're there for the long haul, and we will be rebuilding in those disaster areas for many, many years to come.
Gurkha 200 with Jill Misson.
This is BFBS.
We fight in all terrains and conditions. In the jungle, the desert, on plains, rivers and mountains, and in the snow. We fight in the rain, in the mud, the cold, the heat. Over the past 200 years, our enemies have been many and varied. The Gujars of Kunja, Sikhs, Burmese, Afghans, Malay, Chinese, Tibetans, Germans, Turks, Japanese, Italians, Greek Communists, Malaya Chinese Communists, Indonesians, Argentinians, Sierra Leonean gangs, Iraqi insurgents, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban. It is for our physical fighting prowess that we are best known.
Major Tolbahadur Kamcha of the Queen's Gurkha Signals at the Gurkha 200 pageant. The Gurkhas have built a reputation over the last 200 years as fearless warriors, and one of their particular skills is undoubtedly the art of jungle warfare. Sergeant Sunil Gurung is currently in Brunei, where one of the Royal Gurkha Rifles battalions is always based.
We are two battalions who are actually jungle experts. And all the expertise comes from all the training that we do. And the Brunei itself presents us with greater training opportunities. It has the world-class jungles where you can actually go and train yourself. The senior Gurjis, we call it Gurjis, or the NCOs, they pass their experience to all their subordinates. And as the time goes by, they become Gurji and they pass their experience to their subordinates. And that's how I think we become expert in jungle.
So what makes the Gurkha soldier so well suited to jungle warfare? Colonel Brigade of Gurkhas, Colonel James Robinson.
After the Second World War, there had been a huge amount of soldiers who had come forward from Nepal, something in the region of 130,000-140,000. Clearly the British Army needed to be downsized, and the brigade was being downsized. But then, almost out of nowhere, came the Malayan emergency, and as that was coming to an end, there was the Brunei confrontation and Borneo as well. The Brigade of Gurkhas was employed throughout that, almost for 15 years, in a jungle warfare role. I suppose rather like Arctic warfare, the extremes of climate require really good basic soldiering. Patience, looking after oneself and one's equipment. And our Gurkhas make exceptional trackers as well, because they can distinguish even small changes, perhaps to terrain and vegetation.
In the later part of the 20th century, Gurkhas continued to make their contribution to the major conflicts and challenges facing the British forces. Gavin Edgeley-Harris from the Gurkha Museum.
Perhaps one of the more famous recent periods of history was 1982, with the invasion of the Falkland Islands. 7th Gurkha Rifles sailed on the QE2 in May 1982, arriving in the Falklands in June. Such was the reputation of Gurkhas that perhaps it's the only period in history where the reputation has won a battle. On the 14th of June 1982, Gurkhas were facing the Argentines on Mount William, and when the Argentine soldiers discovered who was facing them and what they may do to them, they immediately ran off and surrendered to the Scots Guards. They managed to win a battle without any blood being spilt. Gurkhas continued to serve this country loyally and bravely, the most recent operations being, of course, in Afghanistan on Op Herrick, and sadly, with operations, there are fatalities, and 15 members of the Brigade of Gurkhas lost their lives in Afghanistan. However, there were many medals for bravery awarded for Afghanistan. Sergeant Diprasad Pun, the Conspicuous Gallantry Cross, and many MCs and a DSO and other awards.
Combat operations in Afghanistan may now be over for the British forces, but Gurkha soldiers will continue to support the Afghan National Security Forces. Colonel James Robinson says the cultural empathy of the Gurkhas made a huge difference on Op Herrick.
In Afghanistan, we were in amongst the people, and having come from a completely different country and a different culture, Gurkhas are very good at adjusting to particular cultures and environments, and it was easy to see them quickly pick up the nuances of how the Afghanis lived. They have a really good ear and ability to pick up languages, and it doesn't take them long before they pick up sort of local phraseology and the ability to just chat locally and establish some sort of rapport. It helped them get on with those in the Afghan army that they were working alongside. They can also spot things. They're quite sort of, if I say, street savvy. There is a story told of one of them who suddenly charged off and tackled this bloke to the ground, and this chap had just been herding his sheep. And everyone, including the British officer, looked at him with incredulity. And when he went up to him and said, "What on earth are you doing?" They searched the man, and he had explosives on him. And the British officer said to him, "Well, how on earth did you know?" And he said, "Saab, I could just tell that he was not a sheep herd by the way he was controlling his sheep." I suppose that's a nice little anecdotal example of how they just fit in to the way of life in other countries.
The terms and conditions of service of the Brigade of Gurkhas were originally set down in accordance with the Tripartite Agreement of 1947 between the UK, India and Nepal. Over the last few years, various changes to Gurkha terms and conditions of service have been made, as Colonel James Robinson explains.
The bulk of the Brigade of Gurkhas served in Hong Kong. They moved there from Malaya in the late 60s and spent most of their time patrolling the border and catching illegal immigrants. And With 1997 came the handover of Hong Kong back to the Chinese. The brigade was made a little bit smaller again, but it was given a continued future and it moved back to the United Kingdom. And in 2007, there was a very big review, and that in essence put all the Gurkha soldiers on the same terms and conditions as a British soldier, backdated, and it also allowed them to settle in the United Kingdom. And in 2009, all of those who had served previously in the brigade, before 1997, before the brigade had become United Kingdom-based, were also given the opportunity to come to the United Kingdom and live here too. Understandably, a lot of them were very interested to come. It was a different way of life, and a lot came quite quickly. And I think some adjustments had to be made. A number of things were put in place. A Gurkha settlement office was created in Kathmandu, so that those who were interested and were planning to come here were given the necessary information about what life is really like in the United Kingdom. And here, both in Aldershot and Salisbury, in conjunction with the Gurkha Welfare Trust, we set up advisory centres to then help those and signpost those who need particular help and assistance.
Gurkha soldiers and their families based in the UK and veterans who choose to take up the right to settle here can tune into a radio station that might give them a taste of home.
हजुर द बीएफपीएस गोर्खा रेडियोलाई तपाईँ सुनिरहनु भएको छ प्रिय श्रोतावृन्द कार्यक्रम दिवाको सेली तपाईँको सेवामा लिएर म शिरी सुनवार हाजिर छु हार्दिक स्वागत अभिवादनको साथमा मेरो सप्रेम नमस्कार स्वीकार्नुहोस्
BFBS Gurkha Radio broadcasts on AM as well as online and in Brunei and Nepal. Sirish Sinowar is one of the station's presenters.
If we are to talk about our listeners, they are comprised of mainly the serving soldiers and their dependents, their families. Our services are also equally enjoyed by ex-Gurkha communities and all the non-Gurkha Nepalese. So yeah, we are there for everyone, but especially we are here for those who serve, whichever country you embark upon to like pursue your dreams. In your heart, you remain true to your national identity, isn't it?
For Gurkha soldiers who live in the UK and those who choose to settle here after their service, it can be a challenge to uphold the same family values they would have grown up with in Nepal and to encourage their own children to speak Nepali and stay true to their heritage. Major Krishna Gurung works with the Gurkha Welfare Trust and feels passionately about the importance of maintaining a sense of Nepaliness.
In the West, the old values that you know that you used to have, things like respect for the elderly, discipline, all of that is perhaps not as much evident these days as it used to be. But I think in Nepal that is still, you know, it's still very much a way of life in the family. When you're raised, you know, you get taught a lot of discipline. There's a danger of that culture slowly disappearing. But I hope that won't happen. You know, it's only natural that you know, somebody who's born and bred here will be thinking like a British person, and you know, you can't really fault that person for being that way. My own daughter, who is married to a Gurkha soldier and lives in York, has two girls, you know, our grandchildren. Their command of the Nepali language is not so good. They must never forget to impart to their children the whole business about Nepali culture and in fact the Nepali language as well.
Gurkha 200 with Jill Misser. This is
CFBS. Back now to the Gurkha 200 pageant at Royal Hospital Chelsea, where members of the royal family and gathered guests were entertained by the band of the Brigade of Gurkhas, and the cast of performers, singers and dancers was made up entirely from serving Gurkha soldiers and their wives. Shashmita Thapa and Jyoti Rana could not have been more excited to be taking part.
So it's a wonderful event. We are very lucky to experience this one. We're even like lucky to see Queen like face to face personally and meet like Prince Harry. Yeah, we don't want to miss an opportunity to impress. We were struck by the earthquake, and at that moment I felt we are much more loved from British people, because like people have generously donated. So I really feel yes, British people are quite like, they are quite fond of
us. They're very helpful.
2015 was always going to be a memorable year for the Gurkhas, as the brigade set out to celebrate and commemorate 200 years of service to the Crown. Despite the terrible earthquake that hit Nepal in April, Gurkha 200 events have gone ahead, and the British people have been given an opportunity to repay our debt to the Gurkhas by coming to the aid of their homeland. Gavin Edgerly-Harris from the Gurkha Museum.
The Gurkhas have a deep respect for all those around them. They are grateful to the British, and the British are grateful for what Gurkhas have been able to do for them. There is this mutual and abiding respect between the peoples of Britain and the peoples of Nepal. There is the potential for another 200 years of similar service by Gurkhas in the British Army.
On digital radio, FM and satellite TV in the UK.
Online and on air around the world.
This is the Forces Station.
The FBS.